I mean, it's just the other day I saw a professing Christian on TV bragging about Carrie Underwood being this strong believer. I'm sorry, but Carrie Underwood needs to repent. And if you have the opportunity to say that in front of other people who are Carrie Underwood fans or whatever, they will call you a Pharisee. Why? Because in their perverted mind, a Pharisee is one of us who believe the Bible and stand on the Word of God. And the Bible says that's the opposite. The Pharisee is the one who adds to the Word of God. Apostates in the world in general accuse Bible believers of being Pharisees. Yes, John.
Just wanted to, isn't it though? So when the world uses the term Pharisee, isn't that essentially though what a Pharisee is supposed to be? Like they're, in other words, they're supposed to be Bible believers.
Well, no, a Pharisee is like a Roman Catholic. They don't even profess to believe that the Bible is their authority. The Pharisee adds tradition. Commandments of men, as Jesus says. And that's what a Pharisee is. And so if they're accusing you of being a Pharisee, they're accusing you of being the one who doesn't stand on the Word of God. They're accusing you. What they're saying is, and what this is what they mean when they say it. They're saying, you just are pushing your opinion on people. No, it's not my opinion. It's the Word of God. Now, there are Pharisees among fundamental Christians, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but we have to avoid becoming like a Pharisee. But if all you're doing is standing on the Word of God and saying that, there's only one way to heaven, that's Jesus, you'd be accused of being a Pharisee for saying that. If you say that sex outside of marriage is a sin, you'll be accused of being a Pharisee for saying that. If you say it's wrong to kill a baby and that women should not have that choice, they'll say you're a Pharisee. And so forth. That is false. Woke a couple of you up. Thank you. So let's see the difference between a Pharisee and a Bible-believing Christian. I want to move quickly on this, so let's run through this. Number one is on authority. Pharisees reject sola scriptura. Now, I'm using the Reformation phrases, but this is what Bible believers have always believed through the years. Before Martin Luther was even born, Bible believers believed this. Yes. Sola Scriptura means the Bible alone. The Bible is your authority. The Bible alone. No traditions, no creeds, no what have you. Anything else. Look over to Mark chapter 7. In verse 9. Mark 7 verse 9. This is what Jesus has to say to these Pharisees. Go ahead and read verse 9 through 12. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Now stop there, I'll read through this because it's just explain it real quick. And Jesus says, But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. You can go. We've got this, we studied this in our expository study of the Gospel of Mark several years ago. I'm not going to go into great detail, but as Corbin is basically saying that they gave all the money, or they've set aside all the money to be given to the temple, and therefore they don't support their own parents. And basically letting their parents go into poverty, and they're using God as an excuse. And in verse 12, Jesus says, and ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. And I should have put, that's what they were doing. Jesus explains it there. Now look at verse 13. His response to that is, read it, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Folks, that's why I get in trouble, because I won't jump on board with some of the traditions of fundamentalists. And, we don't have an altar call. If you want to be saved, we're going to call on you to do it the way they did it in the Bible. How did they do it in the Bible? Believe. Jesus never had an altar call. And a lot of the false conversions that we deal with now, people professing to be Christian and they're pro-gay and all that stuff is because of altar calls. And it's a big emotional thing. And they play the music and everybody gets, oh, and then they come forward and all that. And, you know, we're just going to stick to the Bible. And we're not, there's no altar in the Bible. Jesus was the sacrifice for the church. And the altar, a lot of times, it's connected to the Mass. Because they claim they're offering a sacrifice when they take the Mass. And it's not a sacrifice. There's only one sacrifice, and that's Jesus. So we get in trouble because the Bible is our authority. Now, we also get in trouble from the legalists and the Pharisees who want to add things like, you know, whether to listen to this or, you know, take part in that this holiday. You know, everybody's got to wear a suit and tie, you know, that kind of thing. And why won't we teach that? Because the Bible doesn't explicitly say you have to dress a certain way. It says to be modest. It doesn't say that you have to listen to only chanting psalms or whatever some people get. You know, there are churches who think that we're backslidden because I like bluegrass gospel. You know? And they think the only thing you can listen to are the high-sounding hymns. But my Bible says psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And I believe the bluegrass gospel and that kind of thing falls under the spiritual songs. So we have to differentiate ourselves from the Pharisees in the world, but also among Christians, among churches. So Pharisees reject biblical authority. When Jesus would quote the scripture to them, they were more concerned with their tradition. They were more concerned with their ideas rather than God's ideas. The second thing about Pharisees is their motive. Pharisees reject what's called sola deo gloria. That is to glory to God alone. That means that what we'll see in Matthew 23, let's look at that. Matthew 23, beginning of verse 1. I'll start while you turn there. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all of their works, read verse 5 with me. But all of their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. I mean, we even have guys running around today call themselves Messianic Christians who call themselves Rabbi. What's the guy who wrote the Harbinger books? You know, he's Rabbi whatever. And it's just amazing how they just totally ignore. And it's the same thing among non-Messianic believers when they are called reverend or most reverend. Listen, folks, I am not Reverend Gregory Miller. There's nothing reverend about me. There's nothing to reverence. And Stephen shouldn't be the only one agreeing with that. Oh, my wife said amen? Okay. I go by the net title pastor just for the sake of information, just so you'll know that I'm the pastor and you know that. But that even isn't a title of reverence. It's just a title that lets you know who's doing what. So if you need to talk to the pastor, you know it's me. That's about it. And that's how you see the false religions and the cults and you can see the movements within Christianity that aren't really right. They all operate that way. Now look what Jesus says in response to that, beginning of verse 8. But be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Now this is talking about spiritually speaking. And so that's why Mariah, if she wanted to, she could say, Father. And that's fine. But the rest of you calling me father would be inappropriate. I'm not your daddy. And spiritually, your Father is in heaven. That's why it's so blasphemous for the Pope to be called Holy Father. And it's so blasphemous for all these priests to go by Father so-and-so. And verse 10 says, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Read verses 11 and 12 with me. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. And that's the difference between a Pharisee and a Bible believer. It should be. There's some Bible believers who go off the rails and get full of pride and all that. But generally speaking, the Pharisee wants glory to me. And the Bible believer should be humble and say glory to God. And all the glory goes to God. The Pharisees seek self-glory, and you'll see them with the titles, or you'll see them with their name as the website for their ministries and that sort of thing. The third and final thing we're going to point out is the issue of justification. There's a difference between a Pharisee and a Bible believer. Is Pharisees reject what's called sola fide, which is faith alone. Now, I think it's pronounced sola gratia, sola fide, by grace alone, by faith alone. But look at Luke 18 and verses 11 and 12. And think about this. In verses 11 and 12, it says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. That's the attitude of the Pharisees. He's doing good works, and he wants to make sure everybody knows it. Glory to them. It's a humble brag, yeah. And he really believes God's impressed. He really believes God is impressed with his works and his humble brag. Well, read verses 13 and 14. Read it with me. And the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The Bible believer does not think, and again, the world and apostate religion, apostate Christianity, they will portray you, as believing you're getting to heaven because of your works. Watch any Hollywood movie, any Hollywood TV show, and if there's an exception, it'll prove the rule, that they portray Christianity and Christians as people who think that we're good, and therefore God likes us, and he's going to let us into heaven because of it. That's the exact opposite of Christianity. So everything you're seeing is a perversion of the reality. And then they'll turn around and call you a Pharisee if you dare stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ and the uniqueness and exclusivity of Jesus Christ, that he's the only way to heaven. And if you take a stand for righteousness, then they will call you a Pharisee. And the only thing you can do is understand what I'm trying to teach this morning. I don't know if I'm succeeding, but I hope I am. That you're understanding what I'm saying is that you could be a Pharisee. I hope you're not. But if you're believing the Bible is your authority and you are trusting in his works for your salvation, you're not a Pharisee. And anyone who thinks they're going to go to heaven because they're good or because they belong to the right church or they do the right works, that's the Pharisee. Pharisees seek self-justification. You preach the gospel and a lot of people look at you and say, there's got to be more to it than that. What do they mean? Self-justification. They're going to justify themselves by their own deeds. Or so they are deceived into thinking. That's a Pharisee. Bible rejectors have this totally backwards. And you can be prepared to confront them. Let's just say you're talking and you say, I don't believe in gay marriage. Or I don't believe in abortion. And they say, well, that's quite a pharisaical attitude, isn't it? What should you say? You say, actually, that's the opposite of the Pharisee. The Pharisee is, you're the Pharisee. You ought to see it when I turn tables on them like that. I do it all the time. Why? Because I'm constantly being called a Pharisee by people. And I say, listen, you're the Pharisee. The Pharisees don't believe the Bible. You don't believe the Bible. The Pharisees have their own opinions above God's Word. You think your opinion matters. The difference between you and me is I understand my opinion does not matter. That's the difference. However, in closing, we must guard from becoming Pharisaical. You may not be a Pharisee technically. You're saved and you profess to believe that book is your authority, but you have to guard from becoming Pharisaical. And this, I just want to close with these questions to you. Is your authority God's word or yours? I mean, when you make a claim or you say something, if someone ever comes up to you and says, well, actually, you should read this in the Bible because you'll see that you might be a little off on that. Is your first response, well, how dare you question me? Who do you think you are? You must not know who you're talking to. I haven't been wrong since Nixon. That's the attitude I get from people when I'm just trying to lovingly. I've told you on social media, it's like smiley face, hugs and kisses, little hearts and everything. And they still get offended. That's a Pharisee. I've been a Pharisee a few times in my life. There was a time where, I didn't believe in eternal security. I believed that you could lose your salvation. I wasn't going to lose mine, but you could lose yours. You know what I'm saying? And then someone showed me a few things in the Bible, and that led me to dispensational truth, and that cured me. And now I know that unlike the Pharisees, I'm not going to have anything to do with my own salvation. But there when I first, people confront me and show me this and that, I'd be, well, I've read my Bible 10 times. How many times you read yours? I rest my case. Like, well, it doesn't matter how many times you read it. If you don't understand it, it doesn't do you any good. If you're not rightly dividing it, it's not doing you any good. The second thing, are you seeking God's glory or your glory? Is it glory to God or glory to me? And here's one way to answer this. Do you only do something, it doesn't have to be here, anywhere, do you only do something when you know good and well everybody's going to notice? Do you only do something when you know you're going to get patted on the back and bragged on? There are some people like that. And then there's some people who, they only do something for this ministry, something for any ministry, when they know it's going to be, you know, something that everybody's going to notice. And I'm not going to name names, but I know there are some people here who are the exact opposite of that. There are some people here who have changed the trash bags. And we do not know who you are, but when we find out, there's somebody who came in one time all by themselves and cleaned the entire church. All by themselves. Now, I happened to find out who that was. But I didn't announce it. Because it's not important, because God knows. You see, a lot of Christians are practical atheists. They practically think that God doesn't know what they're doing. And it's like they don't think they're going to be rewarded. So they have to toot, toot. Toot their own horn. The book of Proverbs says you're better off letting somebody else toot that horn. Amen? And finally, are you being justified in God's eyes by His work or your own? And this is an important question, because if you think you're being justified by your works, that really brings into question you're being saved. Now, you could have been saved and now you got your head messed up along the way somehow. But salvation comes to those who recognize their works do nothing. And that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. I love it. Doug said this probably 2 or 3 months ago. And I've said things, you know, like we're saved. We work because we're saved, not to be saved. You've heard that and everything. But Doug was saying that he was talking to somebody and he said, I am saved by works. I look at you. By the works Jesus did. Not my own. I like that. Has a shock value there. I'm saved by works. What? The works of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, that's where we're going to close the study. And I believe everyone here makes a profession of faith. But there might be someone watching or listening online or on the radio that needs to understand that if you realize today that you are a Pharisee who thinks that you're being saved by your works and you're justified in God's sight because you're some wonderful person, and you realize today that you need Jesus, and you repent of that Pharisaical attitude, repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, understanding that when Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood, He paid the full price for the sins of the world. You can't do anything else. You can't add anything to that. It is finished, He said on the cross. He didn't say, well, I've done my part. Now it's up to you to pitch in. When He rose from the dead, He conquered sin and death. It's done. It's a finished thing if you will trust in Him. And today you can be saved if you'll do that.